maybe if you've just had a fight with your husband or your wife or your partner, or maybe if you've like just kind of had a really stressful week at work, or maybe if you've lost your job and you're experiencing financial challenges or whatever it is, maybe it's suggested that you don't have a drink or a drug that weekend, because that's kind of the breeding ground that potentially can form.
Because that's forming the connection of this is how you cope with that. And correct. That's inevitably going to keep cropping up again and again. And the fact is that dealing with life when it gets difficult without any of those crutches or vices is bloody hard to do. And that's why so many of us lean into one thing or another that can go down the road of becoming out of control, because life's not going to stop coming at you. And if you don't develop really healthy coping mechanisms and stay really on top of it and be disciplined, we can all fall victim to it. And I suppose that's the other part of the addiction conversation and the drug addiction conversation in particular is for people who perhaps don't understand how someone can end up being a drug addict or look down their nose at them and say, that would never be me. This person just couldn't be bothered with life, didn't put the effort in, is weak-minded, couldn't be further from the truth. We're all only a few things happening in our life away and a few decisions away from that becoming us. And I think a lot of people don't understand how fortunate they are and also how close they could be to being that person that they're looking at saying, how did you get yourself in this situation?
That's right. And so when I was 14, smoking a joint at the skate park, nobody ever thinks in 5 years' time or whatever it is, I'm going to be in a public toilet using IV methamphetamine. It can happen to everyone because it is based on a lot of different factors. And you just have to kind of be honest with yourself and assess where you are on the spectrum at any given moment. And chop yourself out and give yourself a break and maybe take a rest.
What made ice a different ball game?
What comes up must come down, right? So you kind of get stuck in that cycle. So the high is so high that the low is so low. And then that just kind of breeds that negative cycle because you can't be feeling that low. So you got to always try and be up.
The low is unbearable. And I suppose the more that you do that drug and the more you know that you can instantaneously feel better, is it like you get further and further away from a point where you'd ever be able to cope with actually going through the full come down?
100% it's that. And then obviously while you're kind of involved in that scene and using that way with all these other people that are like you just trying to cope with their life and desperation kicks in and traumatic things that happen. And then all of a sudden you're trying to like, you don't know that you're doing this at the time, but you're trying to cover all that stuff up. And then it just kind of snowballs, but in the wrong direction. And before you know it, you got a real problem on your hands.
Did it feel like you had more and more reasons to use the more you did it?
100%. I just really remember, without exaggerating, it's the truth, like the desperation was like intense. And I just kept like kind of pushing my moral line further and further away from where it started. And the more I pushed that moral line, that's the stuff that made me feel the worst, to be honest. Stealing shit from my family, jumping in the window when they'd like kicked me out of the house and stealing their shit, you know, just stuff like that. Just terrible.
Stuff that a happy-go-lucky, friendly, nice dude who had a nice background, grew up in a nice home, could never fathom doing. And that's that right. There's that disconnect where it's like, how could that ever happen? But that's that drug in particular. Like, how did you view it? Like, was it a friend or something that you always had with you? Did you like view it? Did you give it an identity, your drug addiction, or it wasn't like that?
Nah, and this is the kind of interesting thing as well, and why that lived experience person was so important for me early on, is that I didn't want to be doing what I was doing for kind of a long time before I worked out how to stop, right? To be honest with you, I just hated myself for like a lot of the time. And the only thing that would make that go away was using drugs. And the more that I used them, the shorter that moment or that window got of me hating myself. And unfortunately for me, you know, that resulted in kind of suicide attempts, like you know, mental health issues with like psychosis and stuff like that.
What age were you when you were attempting suicide and at that level?
19 and 20. And I had a couple of pretty serious ones where like I ended up in hospital, was really lucky to kind of be revived. And I was just like, at that point, I was just kind of in runaway train mode. It was just, if I look back on that time, I wasn't really thinking. I was just a bit of like a bull in a china shop. I was just kind of, sounds sad, but I was just like, you know, there's this saying like using to live and living to use. Like that's kind of what my life was like. I was just so there.
Was part of you trying to die from a drug overdose?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. So I was, that were the two attempts that I had. So the one, without being too graphic, the one that was like super close was just stupid. Like I just was in this person's house. Yeah, they were a drug user as well. Their house was like a chemist. And I just kind of took all sorts of pills and then just slammed down a whole liter bottle of vodka and was like using other drugs on top of it as well. I can't remember what happened, but they left me out in the alley. They freaked out. I think they found me in the morning, foaming at the mouth, choking on my vomit and all that stuff. And they left me in the alley. And then I was just super lucky. Someone walking past saw me and called the ambulance.
Didn't you actually die?
Yeah, I did. I did. So I woke up with like, it's the worst. I woke up with the catheter. My chest was super sore from them hitting me with, I forget what those things are called, the electric things.
Yeah.
The doctor called in on me in the morning and just said, yeah, you nearly died, but we had to revive you, all this sort of stuff. I think they told me they had to revive me three times, once in the ambulance, twice back at the hospital. And the sad thing about that, right, I was just so broken that as soon as kind of the drugs started wearing off in the hospital, I just was out of there. You know, I took all the cords out of me and I went straight back to the people that had left me in that alleyway because I knew that they had drugs. And that was not like, when I say one of the first times, it was one of the real times where it just kind of stopped me from that train wreck mode that I was in. I remember walking away after I'd been there and used drugs and scored and whatever, straight from the hospital, just thinking, what am I doing? You know, my life's kind of an absolute mess. And it still wasn't 6 or 7 or 8 months after that until I got some help. Yeah.
Coming so close and experiencing that, and I suppose the shame involved in going back to people who like couldn't care less if you were dead and actually needing them just so that you could put yourself in the same sort of a situation.
100%.
Because although you are a recovering addict and in the peak of addiction at that time, your brain still functions well enough. You're obviously a smart guy. You're conscious of what you're doing. And then obviously what that does to your self-worth is terrible. And what's the result of that? Generally more drugs to dull out the pain. So it's such a vicious cycle.
My last bender before I stopped was I was just super desperate. And I actually stole a whole bunch of money, about $7,500. And I spent it all in a week in an ice bender and all this crazy shit happened. But a week later, I'd been in blackout for a lot of it. And a mate dropped me off at the train station. I was starving and I was like cold and wet. And I'd been kicked out of home at that stage with mum. And I called her and it was weird. She said I could come home because before that she was saying that I couldn't come home. So I came home and she opened the door and she just like, she didn't even look at me. She was just like at that point where she just fucking had enough of me.
Yeah.
It sounds super cliche, but it's like seriously what happened. So I went into the bathroom just to kind of splash some water on my face and I was a bit like teary and whatever. And yeah, it was really weird. Like my life kind of flashed before my eyes, saw myself what I was, that I'd gone from that happy-go-lucky, nice guy with some good opportunities, heaps of friends, all that sort of stuff to, yeah, he's stereotypical, kind of chunky. It just broke me in that moment. And I reached out to mom and ask for help. And that's where I do feel super lucky and really grateful that, you know, I do have a supportive family and all that stuff because I was a mess. And I see people that don't have those networks now and it just makes it 10 times harder.